Canada has just been ranked number one in the world for getting its citizens at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. The province is expected to reach the 75% mark for first doses by the end of this week. Dr. Lisa Barrett is an assistant professor in the Department of Medicine at Dalhousie. She specializes in infectious disease and immunology. I've reached her in Halifax. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Dr. Barrett, Canada now leads the world with people vaccinated with one dose. How big an achievement is that?
That's amazing. I think that says something for logistics and catch up. We weren't in a great place with our own manufacturing, and now we've managed to get enough supply to be able to reach that. But I mean, there's no point in having vaccines if people don't take them. So I think the biggest hooray here goes out to Canadians. That's a big mark. And I hope people feel proud of that. And I also hope that they recognize that the word vaccinated should really only apply to two doses if that's what the vaccine you're getting is supposed to have.
Fair enough. Cases have been at times below 1,000 across the country even this week. Is that a reasonable number?
It's far more reasonable than a bigger number. Every answer I have right now at this stage of the pandemic is kind of measured. I'm really excited, just like everyone else. The number of cases is important to watch, but so is the number of unlinked cases or the amount of community spread in each place. And it's important to make sure that people are testing enough and that people in hospitals are the numbers in people in hospital are coming down as well. So if we look at all of those numbers together, that's also encouraging around the country. But we are seeing some things that we need to be not afraid of, but mindful of, and that's continued numbers of cases with Delta. Right now, the vaccines are pretty good at both preventing infection and definitely excellent at preventing hospitalizations and deaths with these new variants. But number one, got to keep our eye on if that's going to change. And some countries in Europe are suggesting that maybe this virus is on the move again. And number two, we've got to make sure we keep our borders safe and lots of testing going so that we get ahead of any further outbreaks, because we do expect them. Even with excellent vaccines, we need to keep borders safe, keep the testing up, and make sure we're looking forward, not always backward.
All right, I'm glad you mentioned that Delta variant. It's still around. Is it now the predominant and most troubling virus?
Well, it's definitely around. It's making its way into Canadian environments fairly aggressively, particularly Ontario. And of course, there's been the cases in some Calgary settings as well as in BC. And we have some individual cases here in the Maritimes and in Atlantic Canada. So the things that are different about it, that are important, are what you might expect. Viruses are meant to make themselves fitter, and that means more transmittable. This one appears to be more transmittable. And also, there may be some signal that the disease is a little more severe, but that's up in the air. Importantly, this virus has developed the ability to avoid at least part of your immune response. And for now, the vaccines are still covering that off, but immunity is kind of a dimmer switch. And we have to make sure that the lights don't go too dim on our vaccines. And to do that, we really need to have great testing and surveillance along with vaccines hand in hand. If we give up on either one of those too fast, we're going to see that this virus will take advantage. That's what viruses do. So it is troubling. Not a reason to not move forward, but it's a definite reason to move forward with people getting fully vaccinated and keeping up testing in places where it's available there's access for folks in different communities.
The Atlantic bubble is opening next Wednesday. Some people in the province are concerned about importing the virus through travel. Your thoughts?
Geez. When we get our cases low in these provinces, that's the way virus comes in. And travel is not confined to airports. Travel is many ways that people come in. And they're going to likely be coming in from other places. The bonus here is that I hope, especially if people are traveling, that they are fully vaccinated if they've had the opportunity, which should be most people in Canada right now. Not the same for people coming from other countries. But if, even if we're bringing virus in, again, low levels in the community need to be detected, found, and importantly, sequenced so we know what the virus is doing. And therefore, even if it's not just to prevent hospitalization and death, which seems to be and should be very important in what we look for, we also have to make sure we're able to find this virus even in lower asymptomatic situations so that we can keep an eye on it with testing and surveillance and that genetic sequencing to make sure we know what's coming into our provinces and also what's going on around the world. So that's an important part of being a global partner as well. And the Atlantic bubble lives on Earth, so I think we should be very aware of that. I don't think it's completely risky unless people decide to not do, at least in our province, we're going to be doing some testing for folks as they come in and offering people some modified ways of keeping themselves safe with quarantine. So I think that that's important that we get to a new normal. It's not going to be full normal yet, but if we can do a modified normal, let's hope we can keep going through the summer without any major issues.
We're speaking with Dr. Lisa Barrett on the VOCM Morning Show. And Dr. Barrett, many of us are waiting for our second shots and wondering if we should mix and match. What would your advice be on that?
Well, there is some guidance that's come out from the National Advisory Committee on Immunizations. There are some studies that are ongoing, including a Canadian study that has involvement in Atlantic Canada. And we've seen what's been going on from a couple of countries, the UK, Germany, Spain. They have great systems, particularly England and the UK, of keeping their health data together. Their early information says that mixing and matching, and that means in most of the cases these studies have looked at AstraZeneca or a virus-based vaccine at the beginning with a second dose of an mRNA vaccine. And the reason I don't specify between the two at the end is that I don't think there's a real big difference at an individual level which of the mRNA vaccines you get second. We don't have a lot of data, but the data we do have say that this looks very safe, which is the first thing I look for. And secondly, it looks like there may actually be in a test tube or in blood some increased protection with the mix and match idea. So AstraZeneca or a viral backbone base first and then mRNA second. The interval is not quite known. We know the minimum interval that's been tested is likely about 8 to 10 weeks, depending on what study you look at. But how long out you can go is not clear. So in places that are hotspots, where there are lots of viral cases in the community, then people want to get the second shot as quickly as possible. Most of the data only goes down to about 8 weeks in between the two mix and match. So safe, I wouldn't get too fussed whether it was one mRNA vaccine or the other. That's Moderna or Pfizer at the moment in Canada, because I don't think at an individual level that makes a big difference. And when you're offered the shot in Canadian provinces, no one's been going below the recommended interval in most places outside exceptional hotspots. So you should be good to go if you're offered the vaccine. And I would consider it to be safe and to be able to produce a really good immune response.
And speaking of some hotspots, we have two small clusters here in the province, one in the Western Health Region, right, one in the Central Health Region, with no identified source. Is it realistic at all to expect that we would be able to track the source of all of these cases?
I think so. I hope so. That is the backbone of traditional infectious disease outbreak control, is contact testing and tracing, and being able, if necessary, to use isolation as another tool, along with, as we go forward, vaccines, et cetera. So, yes, I would hope so. The funny thing about contact tracing, number one, people have to be aware of where they've been. So that means tracking where you've been. As we do more things, it's hard to remember that. But please use your phone and the COVID Alert app. Even now, I know it's a pain, but just keep doing it for a while longer. The pandemic's not over yet. And then number two, this is a virus that travels, again, without symptoms. And it is, I think it's a little dangerous for people to know that they know about all their quote-unquote exposure sites when you have a virus that doesn't have symptoms. I hope we don't forget that as we go forward. And particularly as people get vaccinated, they're even less likely to have symptoms. And although transmission goes way down with vaccines, we don't have all those data yet to know that it's completely prevented, particularly to vulnerable people. What does all that mean? It means I still think that it's very, very, very possible to contact trace most cases, the vast majority, and it's going to be very important, even in a vaccinated community, to keep us very safe and to keep cases very suppressed, even in the vaccinated era, particularly with a virus that's still shifting and drifting a lot in these first year or two that it's going to be around. So prudence, do some normal things, but make sure if public health contacts you that you're honest with them about where you've been, and just be aware that you won't always know when you're in contact with either low or medium levels of virus in the community. Doesn't mean you shouldn't go out, just means that you have to keep doing some of those public health things, and goodness gracious, get that second shot, please.
Dr. Lisa Baird, an assistant professor in the Department of Medicine at Dalhousie, specializing in infectious disease and immunology and a regular contributor here on the VOCM Morning Show. Thank you for this.
Thank you. Have a great day.